Take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. I am restraining myself on not preaching about God and country, and every patriotic bone in me, and there are many, wants to preach on America today. Yesterday, my dear friend, and she really is just a very close friend. We have been very close over these years. I pastored her for 4 years. She's a U.S. Congresswoman. Her name is Kathy McMorris Rogers from Spokane, Washington. She's been over 20 years. She's been a congresswoman, and we've kept in touch. Yesterday, in my hotel room, I got down on my knees, and Kathy was in Spokane yesterday, and we just prayed for America. And she's very burdened, and she said, you know, Pastor, I've always known this. But she says, as I am starting to leave Congress now, she said, I am just sobered with the fact it's not about politics, it's about prayer. And I got beside my bed at the hotel, and she got, she said she's on her knees, and we just prayed for America. And she said, I just want you to know, Pastor, there's a lot of things going on that you have no idea that things are going to happen in the next 4 months. And she just said, you know, I don't want to go into a lot. She's in two prayer groups with other congressmen and women twice a week. And both of them are over an hour long. And they are really seeking God and just really praying for God to do something mightily. And I just really appreciate Kathy. And she's really, but I almost have never seen her the way she was. By the way, she is the congresswoman that nominated Mike Johnson. And she said, let me tell you something. The night before she was going to nominate Mike Johnson as the Speaker of the House, she called me and she said, I want you to pray. Mike Johnson is the real deal. And he's definitely a believer in Jesus Christ. And she said, Pastor, everything that happened through this whole process of getting a Speaker of the House, I think, was to get Mike Johnson in. And we prayed that night. She was the one who nominated him the next day, and then he was voted in. So I know she's very burdened, and I know I love to preach about America. However, when Stephen called me and we got talking about this weekend and about this day, I said, so what is the thrust? And he said, I got to tell you, more than anything else, Brother Shetler, if you can help prepare our people for July, there's just so much going on. You guys need to get prepared for that menu. That menu is good. By the way, I want you to know, I totaled the menu. For $10, you can get everything on the menu. That's the best deal in Wisconsin on Wednesday. Let me tell you that. I want to just come back and give you $10. I got everything, man. Everything total was only $10. That's a great deal. But you guys have a lot going on in July. And I told Stephen, I said, I'll spend the day preparing them for all of their opportunities. So this morning, obviously, it was to be a witness. But tonight, being in ministry for 45 years, and you come into these seasons of a lot of ministry, I'll tell you the greatest danger. I'm not worried about you dealing with unsaved people. I'm worried about how you get along with each other. And Satan loves to come in these seasons of ministry and destroy the relationships that you have with one another. And you know what? Teamwork makes the dream work. And we gotta be together. So tonight, I am giving you the most, 101, basic 101, how to get along with people. I'm gonna give you three principles. If the rest of your life, these are the only three principles you use on how to get along with people, you'll do fine. And you know, overall, I mean, boy, I am not, my wife will tell you, I am not like the perfect person at all in so many different areas, but I get along with people really well. I really do. I don't really have too many, at least I don't know that I have. I don't know, I might. But I feel like I get along with most people. And I want to tell you, these are the three foundational principles that I have used to get along with people. And there is a four-part, I don't know if you've ever seen this before. We have two passages in our text, Philippians 2 and Romans 12. I don't know if you've ever seen this. I love this. This is four-part harmony. You are so musical here. I think you'll appreciate this one. How do you have four-part harmony in getting along with people? Look with me, if you would, at Philippians. By the way, Philippians is that book that mentions the two ladies that don't get along with each other. And I gotta say, I don't know. I think we get a new name in heaven. But Yodius and Syncyte, or whatever her name is. I'm glad we can't pronounce them real good. And I don't know if they're going to be up in heaven with those names or not. But can you imagine throughout all church history, the two women that didn't get along with each other are put in the Bible. So behave yourself, okay? You may get put in the bulletin or something. I don't know. But I just think, like, in some ways, I don't know what their problem was with each. Well, their problem was self, okay? They both had, because it both, and then it says in chapter 4 where it's mentioned, it says, hey, have the mind of Christ, girls. But can you imagine having your names written in the scriptures that you couldn't get along with each other? Yodius, Syntyche, or whatever your name is, you guys just need to both have the mind of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, False Baptist Church. Have the mind of Christ and you'll do fine. You know what? It's not this person's idea or that person's idea. It's the mind of Christ. But I love Philippians 2. Four-part harmony. Are you ready? Now, when it says if, it kind of means since, okay? It's not really I'm not sure. It's actually the idea, you know, if kind of means since, okay? But so I'll use the word if, but it's kind of the idea since this is true, okay? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, well, of course there is. If any comfort of love, yeah. If any fellowship of the Spirit, of course. If any bowels and mercies, okay. If there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort in love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any bowels and hearts of mercy, then do this, will ya? Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be. Now look at this, four-part harmony. I love this. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Wow. That is four-part harmony right there. Look at those four parts. Like-minded, same love, one accord, one mind. If you all have that in the month of July, whoa, you will fulfill the joy of the Father. Man, that is the way you guys got to operate. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. This is so good. Remember this. All the way through the ultimate challenge, all the way through the float, all the way through VBS, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then he sums it all up in verse 5. Would you say verse 5 with me out loud together? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, that was our first text. Let's go to our second, and then we'll get started. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. So I had the privilege for, I think, 6 years to teach a class called Relationships in Ministry. And that was a really good class. When I travel around, I see some of my students out in the ministry now, they'll come and they'll say, you know, Dr. Shetler, you know the class that I probably got the most from is your class on how to have relationships in ministry. And it was just so practical, and I loved it. And we had an assignment. We memorized Romans 12. Because I believe this is the greatest passage in the entire Bible on interpersonal relationships, Romans chapter 12. Now, you got the first two verses to get your relationship right with God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you get the vertical right. And then every verse after verse 2 is about interpersonal relationships. Go ahead and pick one. It doesn't matter. You get 17, 18. Whatever, it doesn't matter what verse. Every verse has to do with personal relationships. And don't you find that interesting, Falls Baptist? That Romans 12 is right after 11 chapters on doctrine. You've had 11 chapters on doctrine, on what God has done for you. Now, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I think there's a lot of therefores in Romans that are very important, but I do not think there is a bigger therefore in all the book of Romans than Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, because of 11 chapters of what God has done for you, I beseech you, therefore, get along with people, will ya? Let's remember what you have in Christ and what you've been received. Now let's practice that. And now we're going to make this practical for you in Romans 12. It's just a great chapter on interpersonal relationships. We're going to look at verse 18. And then we're going to have, I'm going to read it, then you're going to say it, and then we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to learn three principles on how to get along with people. Look with me at Romans 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Would you all say that, Falls Baptist? This is a great verse for you for the month of July. You're going to get in all these ministries and everyone's going to have ideas and thoughts and what needs to happen. Somebody's not going to show. All kinds of things are going to happen. And the cause of Christ has got to be number one, and you got to get along. And by the way, the Lord just loves it when the church comes together corporately and works out the commission of God, and they're all having joy and they're all getting along. Would everyone together say Romans 12, 18 with me, everyone, if it... Okay, now I know we don't have a lot of people here tonight, but can I tell you, that was terrible. Okay, so let's try that again or we're going to be standing. Okay, here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, everyone together. If
it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Father, I pray that when we come to the Schultz's reception at the end of July, that we can look back over this month and say, wow, what a month. Oh, God, you enabled us. And Lord, we are closer as a body of believers than we've ever been. Father, we are just one right now. And you used us. And you enabled us. And Lord, we got along with one another. Father, I pray that Falls Baptist will live peaceably with one another as much as lieth in them. And Lord, I don't know the family situations in this church. I don't know the work situations. Maybe this message is more than about going on a float or doing VBS together. Maybe it's more about what's going on in people's homes. Lord, teach us how to get along with one another. Father, I know that brings great joy to you. I know that, Lord, you want us to love one another in our expression of our love to you. And Father, I believe that the three points that we give tonight, Lord, are just all biblical truths on how to get along. I pray, you know, I preach this message, Father. I'm going home this week. Lord, I need to apply this with Marilee and Luke back at home. And everyone that I come across, I pray that I will exemplify what I'm preaching. It's easy to get up and preach these three points, but Lord, I want this in my life. And I pray that Falls Baptist want it in their life and that we'd learn tonight, very simply, how to get along. And it's possible. I'm not going to say anything tonight that they have not heard before, but I pray that we would be reminded to learn how to love one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's children said, amen. Amen. All right, number one, this is the basis to all relationships, forgiveness. You got to learn how to forgive. You have to learn how to forgive. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You can get along with anyone if you can learn how to forgive. All people will hurt you at some time or other. There will be, it doesn't matter who they are, that may be the greatest person in the world. Will you work with them long enough? You minister with them long enough? You spend enough time with them long enough, they're going to hurt you. They're going to say something, do something. Something's going to happen. There's going to be miscommunication. And you're going to be offended. You're going to be hurt. If you can learn how to forgive, then my friend, I will tell you, you can get along with anyone. I was the dean of students for 5 years. And I'll tell you, by the way, they always tell about women, you know, those women, those drama queens. Let me tell you, there's a lot of drama kings too. There's a lot of guys that have a lot of drama I really noticed. I thought, man, there's as much drama in the guys' dorm as there is in the girls' dorm. But the key is forgiveness. If you can learn how to forgive. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, what a great verse. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now, this is going to be the basis. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Okay, the basis to all forgiveness is what we've experienced in Jesus Christ. If you have not been forgiven of your sins, you cannot forgive other people. But if you have experienced the forgiveness of your sins, you can forgive anyone, whatever they've done to you. Because nobody has ever done anything to you that is worse than what you did to Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ has forgiven you, you can forgive anyone of what they've done. Now, I have a definition up there of forgiveness, and I did a week of meetings at Martinsville, Indiana. I think you guys know Brother Zemple, and I was there for a week, and you know Caleb Forrester and everything. We had a great week, and they had me, I think I preached 3 times every day for 7 days. I mean, they started on Saturday, and we went all the way to the following Friday night, and we had a great meeting, and they put me, I do love this though. They put me in classes. I did chapel every day, and I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. I'm doing a junior senior Bible class. And I had preached on forgiveness already. And I was teaching them a little bit about how to get along with one another and talk about forgiveness. And I asked the class, these are just juniors and seniors. I asked the class, I said, hey, give me a definition of forgiveness. Well, man, nobody's moving. Nobody. I said, no. Think about what you've heard this week and what I just taught you in Bible class. Give me a definition of forgiveness. Somebody define forgiveness for me. And boy, nobody's moving. And I'm going like, well, I just preached on forgiveness. I just taught a lesson on forgiveness. Young people, what would you say forgiveness is? And this junior girl raises her hand. Now, this junior girl, I don't think, up to that point, I don't think she responded at all. And I didn't remember if she did in any of the chapel services or the night services or anything. She's just kind of and been real quiet, and she's just been sitting there, and she raises her hand. So that kind of surprised me. And I said, yeah, you got a definition of forgiveness? Now, guys, this was an amazing moment. She says, yes, forgiveness, having the compassion to release someone of their debt and no longer be their judge. And I said, read that again. And she said, forgiveness, having the compassion to release someone of their debt and no longer be their judge. I said, come on up here. I said, write that on the whiteboard. She wrote it on the whiteboard. I took a picture of it. I said, I want you to know, young lady, in my life, that is the greatest definition of forgiveness I've ever heard. An 11th grade girl gave me that definition. Forgiveness, having the compassion to release someone of their debt and no longer be their judge. I will tell you, that's what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. He had the compassion to release me of a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I received forgiveness of the debt that I could not pay. And he is no longer my judge. He is now my Abba Father. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And I thought, girl, that is the best definition of forgiveness I have ever heard. Now, let me tell you something. You learn how to do that, you will get along with anybody. No matter what happens, no matter how anybody hurts you, no matter what happens, you give forgiveness. The more ministry that you do in July, the more opportunities and probably times people are going to hurt you. You have got to learn how to forgive people, or you will not be serving the Lord very long. Notice a couple things. Number one, the choice. It's a choice. By the way, this is so important about forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act and a process. It is. There's got to be a moment that you forgive that person. You know what? I forgive her. What she said really hurt. But it's an act. You got to have a moment where you said, Lord, I release them. I'm no longer their judge. I let it go. There's an act. But I'll tell you, forgiveness is also a process, because it comes back up sometimes and you got to just go like, no, I'm letting that go. And Lord, I already took care of that. It's an act and a process. It's not focusing on yourself. Get off the hurt and see God in the healing and make it resolve. And by the way, this is really good. Be quick to ask for forgiveness. And this is just a little thing about interpersonal relationships. But I'm telling you, if this is all you get on Sunday night, it's going to be worth everything. Don't say you're sorry. Okay, if someone's got a bad golf score, you go, oh, I'm sorry about that. Someone got a little fender bender for the week. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Okay, that's where you use sorry. But you don't ever go to somebody and say, hey, just want to tell you, I'm sorry for what I said. No. Oh, by the way, here's the ultimate worst statement you can ever make to somebody. I'm telling you, it is. Hey, I'm sorry if I hurt you yesterday. You mean you don't even know what you did? You don't even know that you did? That's the worst thing. And don't say sorry. Here's what you do. Hey, I want to ask you to forgive me for the tone that I spoke to you in yesterday. I want to ask you to forgive me for what I said to you yesterday. That was wrong. Hey, listen, I want to tell you, before we get on the float, I want to tell you something. Will you forgive me for what I did in how I handled this situation? The more specific you can get, the better it can be resolved. The more specific that you can ask for forgiveness for something, the better it can be resolved. Go 1 week and don't say you're sorry to someone. Hey, listen, man, I'm sorry about our little conflict. No. You ask for forgiveness because that can resolve the problem. So be quick to ask for forgiveness, and come on, be quick to give forgiveness. There's one other little thing that I want to deal with. It's kind of a side issue of forgiveness, but it's huge. It's picking up other people's offenses. Okay, so you and I can get right, but you told 4 other people about what I did. And I come to you and I say, hey, would you forgive me? Yeah, I do. And you know, I didn't have the right attitude either. Jim, will you forgive me? I do. And we got it right. But you poisoned 5 other people. And those 5 other people hold on to that offense. And now they're holding on to that offense. And now you don't know that you got to resolve it with those people. But they picked that up. I will tell you, one of the biggest areas that destroy churches is people pick up other people's offenses. Man, this was an amazing lesson in my life. One of the 10 greatest lessons I ever learned in life. It really is. I'm a sophomore in college, and there's a guy. He's our dean of students. He was one of the vice presidents. And he was probably the most charismatic personality Every student loved this guy. His name was Ron Godwin, Dr. Ron Godwin. And I tell you, you ask me what Pensacola Christian College was, my freshman year, my sophomore year, it's Dr. Godwin. I took every class I could with Dr. Godwin. He was just an amazing guy. He was a man's man. He was about 6'4". He was a big guy. And he was just one of those guys that when we saw him, that he was going to preach in chapel, we'd take him over any guest speaker, anyone at Bible conference, anything. Give me Godwin. We just loved him. Heard a rumor. Dr. Godwin was leaving the college. And I said to myself, man, Dr. Godwin's leaving, I'm leaving. I mean, Dr. Godwin is this college. I mean, man, he's like the greatest guy in the world. He's like the coolest guy in the world. Man, if Dr. Godwin's leaving, I'm leaving, man. I'm telling you, man, the college is, I'm Dr. Godwin. You know, I'm a 19-year-old. I'm not, you know, I'm immature. I'm just thinking, you know. And I'm thinking, so I made an appointment with Dr. Godwin. Now, he's a very intimidating guy. And I remember this. I loved it, though. He never called me Jim. He always called me Shetler. And I looked at it as a term of endearment, you know. He would say, Shetler! And I go, oh, I love it. I love it. What do you got? What do you want, Dr. Godwin? So I come in the office, and he's just a big guy. I mean, this guy's 6'4", 6'5". He's a big guy. And I come in, and he's doing something on the paper, and he looks up. He says, Shetler, what do you want? I said, I want to talk to you. Well, sit down. Yes, sir. What do you want? Shetler, what do you want? Well, I heard something. You heard something? What did you hear? Dr. Godwin, I heard that you're leaving Pensacola Christian College. And if you're leaving Pensacola Christian College, I'm leaving Pensacola Christian College. Because you are Pensacola Christian College. You're the best thing here. And if you're leaving, I'm leaving. The next 90 seconds are life-changing. Godwin takes that long arm and that bony finger, and he sticks it right in my face, and he says these words, Shetler, you don't need to worry about Dr. Ron Godwin, okay? Let me tell you something. Whether I go or whether I stay doesn't mean anything to you. Let me tell you something, Shetler. If you ever leave this place, you make sure you leave on your own red wagon. Don't you ever jump on someone else's red wagon. Shetler, do you get it? Yes, sir, I get it. He said, listen to me. You ever leave here, you leave on your own red wagon. Don't jump on somebody else's. I said, yes, sir. That was good advice. I ended up staying 29 more years. And I will tell you, there was a lot of red wagons I could have jumped on. Let me tell you something, Falls Baptist. Forgiveness is the foundation to all relationships. And you need to learn how to forgive. And listen, if you hear somebody was offended at anything going on in July, you say, number one, hey, did you go back and try to work that out? Have you talked to Pastor about that yet? No, Pastor, he ain't going to do nothing anyhow. There's nothing going to happen. No, listen. Don't you pick up anyone else's offense. Falls Baptist has got a great spirit. This will stay a great spirit if you don't pick up other people's offense. You got to learn how to forgive. Forgiveness is uno number one in relationship. If you take your experience of forgiveness, how many of you have been forgiven of all your sins? Would you raise your hand? Okay, nobody. This month is going to do anything to you that's worse than what you did to Jesus Christ. Christ forgave you. Come on. You can forgive anyone and don't pick up anyone else's offense. Forgiveness. Number two, understanding. Understanding. The more I live, the more I know I've got to understand where someone is coming from. You get your eyes off yourself and you comprehend where someone else is coming from. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I just had one of the most challenging weeks of camp that I've had, I think, since COVID. It was a tough week. Now, God did a lot of things, but one thing I noticed, the longer I spent with the campers, I found out where they were coming from. You know what? By Tuesday night, I was like, man, I'm ready to pack up my suitcase and I'm ready to go. Nothing's going to happen this week at all. I mean, these kids are just hardened. They don't want to hear the word of God. But you know what? You start playing nine square in the air with them. You start playing volleyball with them. You start eating with them. And you start finding out things about them. And you go like, whoa, these kids are coming from some... Well, I found out four of the groups brought bus kids from inner Chicago. And I'm thinking to myself, there is great need here. There is a lot going on in these kids' life. I remember one day, I think I talked to six kids. Not one of them had two parents. Well, you know what? That makes a difference, doesn't it? And you've got to understand people. Now listen, you guys are going to be dealing with a lot of people. And I think sometimes you go like, well, man, I hope she doesn't come back tomorrow night at VBS. Why? Because she's like a big problem. Yeah, well, you don't have any idea the problems that she's going through in her life. And you ought to, everyone has value to God, and everyone is important. Understand. And understand three things. I love these. Number one, understand they are not you. And by the way, that's good in the family, too. Isn't that amazing? Okay, we only have three boys. But I cannot believe Ben, Luke, and Drew came out of the same womb. I mean, they are so different. And when Ben was born, you know, there was Ben, you know. And then Luke was born. He was special needs. But then Drew was born. And when Drew was born, I remember, I said, I wonder if Drew will be more like Ben or if Drew will be more like Luke. You know what Drew was more like? Luke, Drew. He was more like Drew. And it's just so, everyone is so different. And you got to understand. Now, I'll tell you, I think what makes Marilee and I such a great team is how different we are from each other. And the more Marilee and I understand each other, whoa, we become a better team. So there's going to be people that you're going to minister alongside of in these next 4 weeks that are going to be very different than you. And you ought to be thankful for that. And you ought to try to understand. They are not you. Number two, they are the church. And Christ died for the church. So come on, we're all related and we're all on the same team together. They are not you, but they are the church. And they are not finished. God's not done with them yet. So I know that thing like, oh, if he does that again, if she says that again, oh, the way that they act, oh, here she comes again. She does it every year. She says, well, you know what? God's not finished with them yet. And you got to understand. Now, here's something I've learned. Observe, question, support. Okay, what do you mean? First of all, get your eyes off yourself and observe. Why does she do that? Why does she act? Why is he that way? Observe them. Watch them. See, understand them. Number two, question. Don't come in with accusations. Come in with questions. Hey, I've always wondered, why is it that you da-da-da? What can I do to help you with this? Is there something else that maybe I'm missing here? Question. And then support. Be behind your team members. Understand who they are. Have forgiveness. Understanding. One more and we're done. Needs. Now, this is the best one. You can get along with anyone when you start meeting other people's needs. Now, look at the person next to you. Point at them and say, you have needs. Okay? Every person in this room has needs. And the greater we get to know one another, we go like, whoa, man, he's got a lot of more needs than I thought. I wondered, and this is why I define needs. Essential necessities for the betterment of a person. And when you meet somebody's needs, it changes your relationship with them. I always challenge when there's roommates and they come see the dean, you know, they Dr. Shetler, she is just terrible in the room. She never cleans up. She never does this. Dr. Shetler, I'm telling you, this guy's got major problems. He's got anger problems. He's got, you know what I say? Tell him. He said, man, I'm ready to go to another room. You know what? We can move you to another room. But can I tell you this? Are you planning on going to ministry? Yeah. God's called me into ministry. Well, let me just tell you this. That whether it's the next room you're in or the next church you go to serve, you're going to find people like that. You got to learn how to get along with them right now. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. What are their needs? Well, they got a lot of needs. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, do something to meet those needs. Well, I don't want to do anything. No, no, no. When you reach out and help somebody that you're struggling with and meet their needs, it's amazing how the whole relationship changes. Because now you're doing something for kind of, in a way, an enemy. And you do something, and the way that they respond to you, it is amazing. I remember I traveled 4 summers as a speaker of a group. I was not part of the musical part, but I traveled for 4 summers and 2 Christmases. I was on 6 different traveling ministry teams. And one, we just really had a hard time getting along. And it was just like, there's just a lot of tension in the van. That was all the ones I traveled. Well, I got my wife out of one of them, so that was a pretty good one. But all the groups we ever traveled on was great. But this one group, they just were, it was just really, and I realized something. I said, you know what I'm going to do? Tomorrow, there were 2 guys. I'm telling you, if we started out at 8 o'clock in the morning from a church, by 8:30, we were kind of going at it. It was just like, but you know what I started to do? I'm going to do something for those guys every day. I'm going to figure out something that I can do for them. And I can't even remember what I did for them. But you know what? In 1 week, it totally changed the group. It was amazing how they began to respond to each other and how they began to respond to me. When I started meeting their needs, everyone's got needs. How would you want to be treated? Treat others that way. Now listen, I love this one. Their inability is your opportunity. What they cannot do is your opportunity. Now, come on. Some of you have been at, how many of you have been at this church for more than 15 years? Stand up. Stand up. If you've been at this church for more than 15 years, stand up. Okay. Now look, just everybody stand for just a minute. That's standing for not everybody, but 15 years or more, you've been in this church. Now there are people in this room that you love and you get along with so well. And there are people standing right now like, okay, I don't want them on my team. I just struggle with them. Okay, thank you. Have a seat. I want to encourage you in the month of July, meet others' needs. See their inability as your opportunity and our love for them. Look at 1 John, and we close with this. 1 John chapter I think it's chapter 4, yeah. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected, matured, completed, finished in us. None of us have seen God. How do you love God in July? By loving one another. And when you love one another and you forgive and you understand and you meet others people's needs, man, I'm telling you something. There will be a spirit. And matter of fact, would to God that some of the greatest moments of July wasn't just salvations, but it was working with one another and that you worked together. Now, did you notice the points? Forgiveness. Everyone together starts with a... What does forgiveness start with? F. Understanding. Everyone together, what does understanding start with? Needs. Everyone together, what does needs start with? You know how to have fun with people? Forgive, understand, and meet needs, and you will have a lot of fun in July. It really is how to get along with people, how to have fun with people. I like people, man. I have a lot of fun with people. When you learn how to forgive, when you understand, and when you meet needs, you will have fun in July. And I just want to encourage you. When I talked to Stephen, he said, Brother Shuttler, we have a lot going on in ministry to reach our community like no other time. And I said, well, I'll do something on Sunday morning about, you know, just being a witness and just getting out there and seeing your possibilities. And I didn't know what I would do for sure for Sunday night. But the more I thought about my 45 years of ministry, you know, it's about you guys getting along with one another and coming together as a team, and don't pick up other people's offenses, and learn how to forgive and understand other people's spiritual gifts. Understand they look at things different than you do. Their age is different. Their gender is different. The way that a woman looks at a situation is different than the way the man looks at it. You begin to understand, dwell with them according to knowledge, it says in your marriage. Well, we could do that as a church as well. Understand one another and then meet other people's needs. And I'll tell you, you'll be a team.